I'm Dr. Kelly Brogan. You may know me as a New York Times bestselling author of a book with an exploding pill on the cover, renegade psychiatrist, pole dancer, or honorary member of the Disinformation Dozen. What can I say? I'm a born provocateur. I've spent most of my recent life exposing deceptions, connecting dots, and discovering the secret places my inner victim is still waiting to be liberated. And now, I feel called to help you reclaim all of your parts, your health, your sexuality, your power, and your expression, so that you can finally truly own yourself. I want to ignite in you that inner knowing and the pulsing vitality that lives beneath your disempowerment, disconnection, and resentment, so that you can audaciously, courageously, and playfully alchemize your struggle into the specific pleasure of who you are. This is Reclamation Radio. Hi, and welcome back to Reclamation Radio. I am Dr. Kelly Brogan, and today I wanted to share my little rubric for assessing whether or not to stay or go. In a marriage specifically, but you can also apply this to any partnership. I am going to share some anonymized details from a client. But the reason that I'm even recording this is because I encounter this choice point with so many girlfriends, certainly have encountered it myself in my personal life and in so many coaching calls, that I thought to simplify it, especially because in these liminal spaces of our lives, in these, you know, caterpillar melting in the chrysalis moments, I find it really helps to have these rhetorical anchors. That's why I use phrases like enter through the upset, eggs from the hardware store, you know, are you able to wear the villain crown? Because I find that they can pierce through the noise and anchor us in a stable spine, in that what I would refer to as masculine presence and attention to the inner swirling of our feminine energies so that we can actually move forward with integrity. Okay, so in this particular case, let's call her Jane. So Jane, let's call her Aisha or like Veronica or Nina or something a little more. Okay, she's Nina. So Nina is married. She has little kids and she is dealing with infidelity. She has taken money out of the bank account. She has identified an apartment that she can move into and she is ready to go on the actual day that we had our call. So I have become in so many ways a gatekeeper, right? For many of the products of my feminist experience, including the relationship that I had to the pharmaceutical allopathic world, the relationship that I had to medicalized birth and birth control, the relationship that I had to motherhood and careerism, to providership and egalitarian marriages. And I have found myself in the position to caution women about what they imagine might be on the other side of these poor bargains that we are offered courtesy of the feminist agenda, and to suggest that the promise does not actually await you, right? It doesn't await you on the other side of your seven-figure digital entrepreneurship. It doesn't await you on the other side of, you know, garnering financial security through sharing providership or even breadwinning. It doesn't await you through the meaning of adult interaction when you return to work 2 months postpartum and leave your child in the hands of another. And it certainly doesn't await you on the other side of winning the war against men. It doesn't await you on the other side of your birth control, your antidepressants, or the general collusion with a system that identifies your body as the enemy. Okay, so if I am a gatekeeper, I have certainly become one in the realm of divorce. I have come to view marriage as setting the conditions for meaning and fulfillment and safety for men, women, and children, and society at large. Okay, so that is my bias I'm sharing with you. So here is Nina. She is done. Okay. She's absolutely done. And she wants, in some ways, for me to support her decision. So in any experience of conflict or at any one of these forks in the road, the imperative is to bring as many of your parts into coherence as possible. That requires deep inner attunement. And of course, I have my biased approach to that, which is referred to as self-husbanding, where you commit to orienting towards attentively and with your presence towards your inner world with devotion, interest, and approval. So as you bring your parts into coherence, you are going to listen without judgment and without an agenda to coerce. You're going to listen to what your parts have to say. And the first step to that tends to be entering through the upset, right? So allowing the energies of feeling to move so that you can actually have the opportunity to attend and listen in this way. But when you listen, you're essentially going to hear from one protector part that says, it's time to go, here's why. And another that might be saying, it's time to, you know, really roll up your sleeves and dig in and commit and stay. And the confusion, the paralysis comes from the inability of these two parts to see each other and to develop some sort of dialogue and come to a meaningful shared conclusion about what is best. So there will be a little yes, or what I call a little no, that is in there somewhere beneath all of this noise. You're going to know in your bones whether to stay or go. And when I say go, I mean divorce. I don't mean like, you know, taking a few months apart. Okay. The hell that we create for ourselves, sometimes for years inside of a marriage, inside of a relationship, is to stay on the fence. So it's a very kinky place where we are staying. We're here, ostensibly choosing this man. And yet we are focused mostly on the reasons we have to go, right? So the reasons that he is rejection worthy. This split is just a recipe for energy drain, for illness, actually, for like literal, what we call sickness in a woman's body. And it's quite an erotic caress of the enemy, right? Like it's so much of your eros devoted to the struggle with that you are rejecting and embracing at the same time. Our world is so full of noise. Politics, social media, other people's expectations, societal standards, judgments. It can be super challenging to access yourself and the wisdom of your hearts, your inner compass, and that quiet place inside that is always okay. I love the mist elixir and anointing oil called Quiet Mind by Lotus Way. It just transports me to this space of clarity, focus. It gives me the capacity to pause, and it's become something of a conditioned ritual that every time I reach for one of these bottles, I am able to open up in such a fast way, whether I'm intentionally meditating or just need to pattern disrupt some disembodied moments in my life. If this is appealing to you, I would love to invite you to head over to lotusway.com. Use the code Kelly15 for 15% off. The link is in show notes for you. Okay. So to simplify things, I see it because I like to think of like the doors in front of me, like three doors in front of me. So I like to think of the goal as being getting off the fence, entirely. And I'll describe what that looks like. So that's the goal. So you either fall on one side of the fence or the other. But if you're going to stay on the fence, then at least do so intentionally. So those are your three choices, right? So the first choice is to go, okay? Because that seems to be the one that was most apparent in this particular case to, you know, the woman I was speaking to. If you're going to go, it's because you know deep in your bones, and we always know. We always know as women. The work is clearing the noise, right? So you know deep in your bones that this is the end of the road for you two, that your devotional energy can no longer be contributed to the marriage itself. And secondarily, I would say, to this man, that that's not for you. The contract is complete. You are moving in another direction. You are experiencing another life out there over there. If you're going to go, then come to him in peace and go with love. The way that you come to him in peace is to get to a place where you've listened to enough of your inner parts, where you have stayed with your own upset enough, and where you have worn the villain crown of your judgment sufficiently, that you have started to recollect, if not completely recollected, any aspects of yourself that are blameworthy onto this partner. You have recollected them back. So that means that you don't blame him for anything. And when I say come in peace, you come with appreciation and gratitude for whatever it is that you experienced together, whatever it is that you co-created, whatever it is that you could specifically encounter through this relationship that might not otherwise have been available to you in this lifetime. You come to him and you say all those things. You will always have a place in my heart. Of course, you are the father of my children. This is, we have a forever bond. And I am so grateful for all that we experienced together. And I know deep inside of myself that it is time for me to go. And then you might say, let me know what you need to begin to move in that direction. My perspective on the going, okay, is that women almost never, and we leave most of the time, and we almost never leave that way, right? And so the consequences of that are that we have these cords in us. It's the aspects of ourself that are still in this person, that are projected still into this person. The cords come with us, sometimes for years, sometimes literally for the rest of our lives. And the cords are maintained through idealization and vilification, right? So they're maintained through these unintegrated projections. And the easiest way to, you know, begin to reel them back in is to work with blame, to get to a place where you do not feel superior any longer to this person. And you can actually come in genuine and authentic gratitude to the ending of this dynamic. I'm not saying that every single person has to have like a conscious uncoupling. It's not like that. This is internal, and this is for you. This is for you so that you are not experiencing the ghost of this relationship and the ghost of this individual for years to come through the erotic caress of the enemy, through that literal erotic outsourcing of your life force energy to the rejection of this person. If you are leaning in that direction, but you're not totally sure, then you might simply intentionally sit on the fence. So what this looks like is speaking from I language, so speaking from and about yourself, referencing your emotional state and your needs. So you might say, I am flailing and I need space. Given that, what do you think is best? How do you think that we should proceed? Personally, I have found as an expert problem solver that most of the men I know are actually better at solving problems than I am. They see things that I don't see. They come up with paths that seemed totally non-evident to me. And so I like the idea of you focusing on your feeling state and allowing your husband to solve the problem of your feeling state, because you already have a good sense of what you need. You need time and space to sit on the fence a bit longer. And usually that means that you're going to be focused inward. You're going to be attuning to yourself. You're going to be staying in your lane, and you're going to be starting to fill your cup so that you can find yourself again and really feel that little yes or little no with more clarity. So if I were to communicate that, I would use I statements about how it is that I feel. So I'm flailing. I feel overwhelmed. I feel, you know, like I'm at my max. Like I just can't continue to process or continue to fight or continue in this dynamic. And I know that I need space and maybe time, you know, how do you think we should proceed given that? The last option is to align with the part of you that at one point saw partnership and procreative potential in this man, okay? The part of you that chose this man, and to bring the other parts of you on board by listening to their objections, to their misgivings, and to really being there for them, where you are husbanding yourself and those parts that are having trouble going all in. Okay. So there's a lot of talk about like giving it your all as a woman. And I've given so much to this relationship. I'm just done. Most of the time, a woman who is in that distressed state of having endured and tolerated a lot of, you know, attachment related dysfunction in a dynamic has not even begun to give of herself, right? Because giving of yourself is the exquisite vulnerability of your open heart, your unconditional open heart. Open heart is a very different thing than boundarylessness, okay? But that vulnerability is giving it your all. It's a yin experience as opposed to the yang experience of trying and dragging him to couples therapy and pushing him, you know, to work on his shadow. So I'm calling all of my overachieving, under-receiving ladies who have been giving it their all, girl-bossing, wifing, mothering, and somehow, instead of feeling happy, content, fulfilled, and grateful, feel bitter, overwhelmed, numb, and resentful. So I'd love to give you some of my hot takes and quick tips to end this overwhelm, to shift your nervous system into a state of receiving so that you can have and hold more, and so that you can handle what comes at you with more grace and ease and relaxation, because a relaxed woman is a powerful woman. So I'd love to invite you to Exhale, my free masterclass where I will share reframes to disrupt your burnout patterns. I'll be offering my signature solution as well as a free gift. So register at kellybroganmd.com/exhale or at the link in show notes. I'll see you there, beauty. So if you were to get off the fence, and if you were to say, you know what, I'm a little yes to this marriage still, you would get off the fence and you would choose him. You would play the part of somebody who chooses this man just the way you did once upon a time, okay? So that means there are no open doors and windows. There are no escape hatches. There are no contingencies. You have your line in the sand. You've already decided what that is, right? And if that's transgressed, you know, you'll deal with it then in this same manner, apply the same rubric. However, it may be that infidelity is not your line in the sand and that you still have the opportunity to devote yourself not to him as a man, but to this egregore that you create between you, to what we call the marriage, to the covenant. You know, some would say this is how you access God, that it is a sacred third that emerges from both of you. It is bigger than both of you. It encompasses you. It holds you. That the marriage is what you are devoted to, that that is where your energy is dedicated. So if you choose this man and you act like a woman who chooses him, then there is a zooming out that happens where whatever he's up to in terms of the infidelity that he's, you know, engaging is something that you're, you know, you're here for, because you're here for the container. You're here for whatever occurs. And because you know that maternalizing yourself and laying down the rules and the law and demanding and providing ulterior motives and all of that is generating a taboo, and it is reinforcing the mother-son dynamic that will, I could virtually guarantee, never get you where it is that you want to go as a woman. So when you are choosing him, when you are all in, there is a way that your system can relax, can exhale, and begin to encompass a broader spectrum of time. It can begin to honor that he is a separate person, you are a separate person, and yet you are holding this container strong. And through this orientation, you can explore what I write about in my book and reference from Maureen Selinay, which is the three yeses of family constellation through her depiction, which is a 100% yes to him as he is. So no projects, no rehab, no therapists, no nothing required. Okay. Accepting what is in front of you. It's incredible practice for the rest of reality. Okay. So you're 100% yes to him as he is. You're a 100% yes to his parents, because we do a lot of splitting, fragmentation, and projecting that which we would rather not see in our partners onto their parents, right? And turns out that they are of their parents, okay? They come from their parents. So you're 100% yes to their parents. And then you're actually 100% yes to having different destinies potentially, right? So you're not just offering this person love because they're in a marriage with you and they're treating you nicey-nicey. You are offering them this love because of who it is that they are. You're choosing this man. And if he has a destiny that diverges from yours, that love is still there. So this is a model for adult love that is more restricted in projections. So when you choose somebody in this way, when you love them in this way, and when you relax and release all of the energy that was devoted to getting them to see your perspective, to changing their behavior, and to loving you right, you can take all of that energy and focus on yourself, on your inner experience, on your needs, and on filling your cup, staying in your lane. And what shifts from that place is extraordinary, and it is non-coercive. It's organic, because you are now aligned behaviorally with your choice, right? You made the choice to be in this relationship, and now you're all in. You've closed the doors, you've minimized the conditionality, and you've offered your partner an experience of acceptance, approval, and belonging. Otherwise, you are in this in-between. You are in the one foot in, one foot out, the eggs from the hardware store, you know, shopping experience, where you know that there's nothing here for you, and yet you're still going to insist that it be there for you. And we contribute to the field of victim consciousness through a commitment to this in-between state. So if you really want to go, then come in peace, go in love. If you need time, then intentionally set a container for yourself to sit on the fence. And if you know that there's a little yes inside for this marriage, and yet you feel hurt, you feel betrayed, you feel violated, you feel, you know, like there has been a breach, but there's still that little yes, and you still can find yourself devoted to the container, to the covenant itself, to the union, then get all of the parts that you can on board and into coherence around actually choosing this man. If not just playing the part and acting and faking it till you make it, acting the part of a woman who chooses this man thoroughly, completely, is going nowhere. So these three doors are for you to explore, and you can, and hopefully this will offer you a bit of orientation in those moments of peak upset. Until next time.